Palm Sunday, and so we turn to the Gospel of John for an accounting of the first Palm Sunday, but we also hear that refrain that keeps coming back again and again, do not be afraid. Hear the word of God. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Let us pray. God of our lives, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, so that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened. Help us to know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of your power at work within us. Through Christ we pray. Amen. For most of us, experiences that seem out of sync and out of context with what we have experienced before are likely to provoke fear. We're likely to be afraid of those situations. I think it's natural. We are made so that routine makes us feel comfortable. If you've ever read a bedtime story to a child or grandchild, you know they usually want to hear the same story over and over again. I would sometimes pull a fast one on my boys when they were small. We would be reading a book, and I would say something like, Red Riding Hood came across a big bad bear. And they would say, no, Daddy, no, it's not a bear, it's a wolf. They knew the story by heart, and they couldn't accept that random change in the plot. We love the kind of stories in which we know who the villain is and the hero is. We know when to cheer, and we know when to boo. That's why old-fashioned melodrama was so popular. We're accustomed to the scenario. The heroine says that she can't pay the ransom. The villain responds, she must pay the ransom. And at last, the hero appears, and he says, I'll pay the ransom. And of course, then the heroine says, my hero. A little higher octave. And that's how we like it. We know what's coming. We know how it's going to end, even as adults. But the danger in this desire for the routine and the comfortable is that within that framework, we tend to think we are in control. I know I've made this point before, that control is one of the most apt descriptions, I think, of human sin. We want to control our lives. We want to control the lives of others around us. We even want to control God. That's a very good description of sin. A psychotherapist once said, "Watch out for the fellow who talks about putting things in order, because putting things in order always means getting other people around you under your control, so they do what you want them to do." Unfortunately, our efforts to control don't stop at the door of the sanctuary. Even Sunday services seem way too predictable, especially for us. You know our nickname as Presbyterians. Everybody know it? The Frozen Chosen? Yeah. We like things predictable. Back when I was a youth director at Harris Street United Methodist in Harrisburg, I was invited to preach a sermon. The youth group helped me with the sermon, and we titled it Voices from the Balcony. They had this wonderful large balcony where the youth liked to sit and hang out, so if they were whispering, they wouldn't get hushed by their parents or by the ushers. And they participated in this way. We were going through talking about characters of the Old and New Testaments, and they would stand and shout a question at intervals, and then I, in the sermon, would answer that question. Well, I had a variety of reactions to that sermon. Some said to me afterwards, "I'll never forget that sermon. I really heard God speak to me." Then there were others who said, "You know, let's not ever do that again." And it seemed to disrupt their whole expectation of what church is going to be like. I think it may have disrupted their napping, to tell you the truth, or something along those lines, but they didn't like it, obviously. Jesus is someone who, in his 3-year ministry, kept doing unexpected and unpredictable things. His closest disciples, his own followers, were especially confused by some of the things he did and said. And here in the last week of his life, leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, there were all kinds of unexpected things. His entry by means of an impromptu parade is once again a strange twist of the plot, and a few of the details stand out. In the middle of all the turmoil of a city crammed with visitors preparing for Passover, Jesus suddenly announces, at least he does in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that two of his disciples should go and get him a ride into town, a donkey. Here in John's Gospel, we read, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, much briefer, shorter account. Do you wonder how the disciples reacted to this impromptu, unexpected parade? Well, I think there may have been a couple of them who were really thrilled with it. They thought, wow, just what we need, a change of pace. This is going to be great. And then I think more of the disciples were probably thinking, oh no, Master, does he know what he's doing? Does he understand the danger? Does he realize the temple authorities are waiting for him to kill him and probably kill us? They were filled with anxiety, with fear. Bruce Larson, in his book, Living Beyond Our Fears, speculated how a church might react today to the idea of this hastily assembled parade. We could imagine their objections. Does the long-range planning committee know about this event? Has the finance committee approved the expenses for the donkey? Do we need to get a permit from the council of the city of Jerusalem to have this parade? Those are the kind of things people would ask. Or has the official board given its approval? In Jesus' case, that would be Peter, James, and John. The official board. It was a puny parade by today's standards, a one-float parade. One man and one donkey riding into the city. On the surface, it seems spur of the moment, but we have come to see that Jesus is far from capricious. Jesus is intentional, very intentional. Zechariah, over 6 centuries earlier, had predicted that the Messiah would arrive in just such a way. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. The Messiah's coming in triumphal entry on that first Palm Sunday must have evoked a number of strange responses, both from the people of the city and the religious leaders and Jesus' own disciples. But even in this familiar story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, we're told, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Here from the prophecy of Zechariah, which is brought to mind when Jesus comes into the Jerusalem, we read, do not be afraid. Jesus was in Jerusalem before the festival of the Passover. There were people gathered from many nations, and excitement surrounding Jesus was at a fever pitch. It was rumored, and the rumor was spreading, that he was the anointed one. the Messiah, the King of Israel. When Jesus rode a young donkey into town, he was essentially confirming that he was the Messiah, the one spoken of by Zechariah. And Israel expected when the Messiah came to be set free from the Romans, they wanted to be free from their fear of conquest, for it was the Roman army that was taking over their country, and who knew which army would be the next to invade their land? It's what they were expecting, but they were also expecting the unexpected, the Messiah. In this country, we don't live with a fear of conquest the way the Israelites did in Jesus' day, but we live with other kinds of fears. Some of them I talk with the children about. And as we manage those fears in our lives, we might still have a fear of conquest, that we might be afraid of when the next 9/11 is going to come, that there would be terrorists attack our country, people who want to destroy us. We plan, we prepare, we organize, we manipulate as a way of managing our fear, but as Christians, we should know that we're following a Savior who is unpredictable and who did the unexpected. We're not going to figure him out at every move. We will not get everything that we expect from him, and we will not be able to keep controlling everything around us. Life is guaranteed to be unexpected. Last fall, this personal notice appeared in a large city newspaper. To the man who administered CPR late in the morning of November 25 to a Mr. Marcelino downtown at 2nd and Washington, we are grateful to you for saving our father's life. You have given us something to be truly thankful for this Thanksgiving. You see, everything was unexpected. An unexpected medical emergency, an unexpected stranger who administered CPR to this man who he didn't know from Adam, a good Samaritan in the truest sense. Christian friends, don't be afraid of the unexpected. Whatever fears we find ourselves locked into, we can take heart that the King is coming to set us free from those fears. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Amen.